Hello, Kabir, and welcome. Sorry for the technical glitches. My phone hadn't updated to X, so technical difficulties. Please request the mic. Anna will be joining us shortly. I'm Esther behind the USA Biz Party, and we're so grateful to have you here with us. And again, apologies for the...
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. I was always stressed with technology. It does not like me on a Tuesday for some reason. but we're here. We've got it started. We've got it opened. And Anna should be joining us shortly. So okay, how are you, Kabir?
I'm good. Thank you. And I don't remember your name. Have you told me?
Yeah, my name is Esther.
Esther. Oh, yeah, Esther.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Esther. Sorry, I was not recognize the voice. Yeah, no, Esther. Okay. I know you're with Anna, so
yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
Let me share this room with Tweet.
Yeah, go ahead. As you can see, we've already started, people have already started chatting in the wall, I suppose it
I
is.
I see.
We'll share some of the questions and answers there. I presume that's Anna coming in now, and she can request to be co-host. I was just saying, Anna, that my app hadn't updated to the new X, so that's what the issue was.
Well, good morning. Well, it's good afternoon.
Good afternoon
for
me.
Good morning to Kabir.
Yes.
He's in California. Welcome to our space, Kabir.
Anna, good morning. Good afternoon. Yes. I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. I went over to your website and I was looking for you, but you have so many other people on your website because you're... That cprompt.ai does so many services, so many different industries. So we appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Cprompt AI is, we'll talk about it. But yeah, I think it's, you saw a bunch of users there, their profiles probably, publishing. So I'll talk about it, how that plays along with the prompt engineering part of it. I see Tara, my friend here. Tara, nice to see you.
Nice to meet you, Tara. Nice to meet you. Real quick, let me just talk about how this space runs. So we actually run the questions also in the feed. I don't know if we call it a Twitter feed, an X feed, but in the feed. So if you would like, if you can't speak, if you can't talk with us as we're going through the questions, feel free to go into the chat, go in and use the hashtag USABizParty so that you can follow us there and use the hashtag when you're answering any questions so that we know that you're talking to us and we can communicate with you. What I was thinking we would do this morning, this afternoon, wherever you're at, is that I will ask the questions as they show up in the feed. We'll give Kabir time to answer because these questions are primarily geared toward him. And then we'll open up the floor for a few minutes for anybody who would like to ask a question of Kabir or would like to share a little bit. So first of all, we want to welcome everybody who's in this space. We have Laura. Thank you, Laura. Let me see. Who's this other individual? Knowledge is a New York realtor, crypto investor, enthusiast. Oh, he's a cannabis enthusiast, event host, and MSM founder. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us. And let me read a little bit about Laura. Laura is a muse. She loves polymath and empath. Thank you for your service. She's a U.S. Navy veteran. She's been 30 years in the music industry. She is a rave legend. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Prompt engineering, there are so many new terms that have come out with all of the AI. Tell us what prompt engineering really is and why it's important in AI models.
Thank you, Anna. So, prompt engineering is a term that actually became really famous when a news media reported that someone got a job as a prompt engineer for $300,000 a year. So, people were like, wow, that's really cool. What is that thing? So, prompt engineering, the simplest way to explain prompt engineering is when you are talking to an AI, when you are writing a query or typing a question. That is prompt engineering. But if that was it, then nobody would be paying $300,000 a year to that person. So prompt engineering is more than that. What it is the ability to speak to an artificial intelligence system such as an LLM, such as ChatGPT, Claude, Bard, all these things in a way that you get a desirable output. So if I'm looking for an analysis or summarization or code or have it write a contract by being very specific, very intentionally being very specific, which is very important, then I am able to get the results I want, get it to do the task I want. A lot of people are playing with ChatGPT and they're not getting the results they want. So they're frustrated because they don't know how to ask the right question or set up the right question. So prompt engineering is about being very specific with an LLM, large language model, to ask question or inquire or basically generate the output. So that's what prompt engineering is about. It is a science. It is a difficult task. And many people are not going to be able to do it without having some discipline. So I think the term prompt engineering is a little overrated. You don't need to be an engineer. You just because you do prompts, you are not an engineer. But it's the term that was coined and kind of glamorized it. Also, everybody needs to know this because prompt engineering is something that is going to be affecting every aspect of every professional or personal or career. So I think it is not a separate job title. It is more of a skill. So prompt engineering is skill to ask AI in a very specific way that you get the desirable output. So that's what I would call prompt engineering.
You know, it's interesting because since all of this has come up about AI, and I've started to use ChatGPT, and there's another one that I'm using called Magi. I have to agree, finding the right question to ask is so challenging because, I mean, fortunately, you can go in and say, no, I don't like that one. Let's do this, right? But I remember this morning I was asking for some scripts because I was getting ready to do some cold calling, and I thought, oh, scripts will help, help me feel a little bit more comfortable. At least I'll have a place of starting my discussion with people. And I did not give a specific enough prompt. And what I got back was not what I was looking for. And I just had to laugh. And I thought, oh, so glad we're going to be talking about prompt engineering today. And Esther will be reading any responses that we get inside the we'll see, I'm used to calling it a Twitter feed. I'm still going to call it a Twitter feed because it's still Twitter as far as I'm concerned. But do want to thank Fairy King and Virtue Desk for joining us. So I am super super excited about this because I think what we want to do is we want to, there's a lot of press and we're not really going to talk a ton about the press because honestly, AI is here. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, the genie's out of the bottle. Now we have to figure out how to manage the genie, and it can be a tremendous tool for business. So the next question we have, so if there's anybody again, oh, Pavel, welcome. Pavel's another regular, he's a smart business owner. We're so thankful to have him. We have Benjamin Moore all the way from Ireland. Thank you, Benjamin, for joining us. So let's move on to the next question. It may spark, for those of you that are just now joining us, hi, Kimberly, thank you for joining. For those of you who are just joining us, we're going to ask the questions. They are in the Twitter feed. So if you're in an office. She can't talk, but you would like to participate in the conversation. Esther will be reading responses from the feed. And so that way you can engage with us, even if you can't talk to us. But we do encourage you to request the mic. We'll ask a question. We'll have Kabir have him discuss his answer. And then if you want to chime in, share something, or ask him a question, we would be happy to have you do that. So our next question that's come up, see, did I say hello to everybody? I think I did, Esther. Good job, Anna. Sorry about that, guys. I have to sometimes pat myself on the back when things are, when I'm feeling a little out of sorts. Our question number three, coming directly from the Twitter feed, is how can prompt engineering improve the performance of AI models? I'll let you take care of that one, Kabir.
So prompt engineering is about getting AI engaged with us. So we are the humans, we're talking to AI, we're writing prompts, and it is responding. And its main purpose is not to improve the AI, but it is, because what companies like OpenAI do is they actually capture the prompts that you are providing. And when it's not satisfactory, let's say I ask it, write me a contract that has this element, and it doesn't do a good job. So I go back and say, no, you missed this section, or you did not do the indemnification section or whatever. So it realizes that, and this is being recorded. And then this could be fed into the AI to later improve the AI, say, hey, well, on that prompt, you failed. And the human actually was not satisfied. So guess what? You need to improve. So that is the reinforcement learning type of, again, this is not exactly reinforcement learning, but this is the type of learning that's going to go in to improve. And I think OpenAI has significantly used this. And there is controversy around it because, are they allowed to use it? Now, I will tell you that the cat is out of the box. They have already used a whole bunch of data without permission. And now, maybe forgiveness is the only way to go, or maybe pay a fine, whatever happens to them. That's not my personal interest. But when we interact with an AI, if I were to be the AI designer, I would simply take that interaction and actually analyze it, is my AI performing to the request of the user? And in this case, whenever it fails, yes, it should feed it into the system. And this very same technology is actually used by Tesla. Whenever a human does not, it does the other thing. For example, if you're driving on a Tesla and the two AI chips that are actually deciding which direction to go, always, these are shadow drivers. These are the AI drivers, right? And the human does something else. They take that delta, that difference, and send it home when you come and park your car in your garage, because that's what builds Tesla better, because it says the human decided against our intention, so there must be something wrong with us. So let's go ahead and analyze that. So same thing with OpenAI, same thing with many of the AIs. They're learning from our interactions. Now, there should be disclaimer, I think. A lot of people would feel uncomfortable because they're sharing so much. And so they may be uncomfortable. And I think there should be proper disclaimer. I have not seen one, but it could be hidden in the very unfortunate, end user license agreement that we sign with these companies. So it could be there that they have the right to use our data. But that has come up as a privacy issue. But that's definitely how they're improving AI with our prompts and our interactions.
Just a quick question from the Twitter feed. I'll continue to call it that too. Ben Murr is asking, are we talking about ChatGPT or GPT-4?
Oh, prompt engineering applies to any LLM, any large language model. It could be Claude, it could be Bard, it could be ChatGPT, it could be Llama. There is so many of them. So, the prompt engineering is the language of communication with a large language model. ChatGPT just happened to be the flavor of the year or flavor of the month or quarter, but there are many. Obviously, Bard, Google's Bard is an unbelievable, powerful one. And then I would mention Claude, which is an amazing LLM. And not to discount open source. Open source is my primary interest. And open source wise, Meta has released Llama 2, which is another open source, another LLM. We have, these are the big mega open source, mega LLMs, but there are hundreds of LLMs out there. So anytime you're talking to a large language model, you're using prompt engineering. So ChatGPT is the one that obviously got most of us started, but behind the scene, you know, there has been so many. So yeah, prompt engineering applies to any LLM.
Also, from the feed, Virtue Desk, in getting a definition from Google, says that prompt engineering is a technique used in AI to optimize and fine-tune language models for particular tasks and desired outputs. So it's basically to help the AI learn, I guess, and improve the output that based on the input they're receiving from the user. Maybe that's a very simplified way of putting it, but that seems to be what we're talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong, because AI is so brand new to me that I just kind of feel like it's terribly overwhelming. And that's one of the reasons we're doing this month, because we want to get clarity around this. We want to be able to use this ethically in our businesses, because it's a tremendous tool. Of course, like any other tool, it does need to be learned and it does need to be, you know, monitored and modified. Kabir, would you say I got that right?
So the definition, if it is read from Google, I would say that it sounded like it's saying prompt engineer's main purpose is to train the AI. From the consumer point of view, from a user, prompt engineering is the way for us to get the desired output. So is it learning better? Yes. Is it getting better because we are interacting with it? Of course. So that's definitely happening. But the purpose for us is not to go all of us slave away and teach an AI for the sake of its learning. Our purpose is, what can I get out of the AI for my business, for my schooling, for my children, for my life and community and church? So for us is to go to AI and say, I have this query. I have this, you know, before the age of AI, everything was a database query. You had to, if you came up with a question in a business, and if you had a sizable enough business, you would have to invite your database expert, which is the DBA, say, could we ask our database a question that will answer these things? And I'll give you an example. I developed in the 90s a system that is called Profiling Engine. And it used to work with Nissan's and Procter & Gamble's and such. And what the marketing department would ask, you know, find me all white female living in tri-state New York, earning more than $100,000. And I made it, you know, natural language. And that was amazing in the 90s. And now with prompt engineering, it's natural language processing, so NLP. So we're actually speaking in English. We can speak in any way we want. It still figures it out. It still understands it. So it is designed. The purpose of prompt engineering is as for us to get the benefit of the AI, and AI to benefit from us by learning what it couldn't do or could do. And so there is you can call it a symbiotic relationship, but I think when we talk prompt engineering outside in public, we're really referring to human benefiting from interaction with an AI, and they're using natural language, English and other languages, but they're going to have to follow a structure to get the most benefit. And I can talk about the structure a little bit, but I think that was the question that, you know, so I think you are right that it is learning from us, but really the benefit should be the human. It should be us benefiting from it. Otherwise, we won't do it. We won't just go and type away questions and things to train someone else's asset. We want something out of it. And I think that's what we are getting out of it. And that's why it's so interesting.
Very, very interesting. Esther, did you want to make a comment?
Ben has another question. Ben, do feel free to request the mic. Do different LLMs have different strengths in different areas?
Absolutely. So Some of them are secret, some of them are well known. So I will give you some. So you know, ChatGPT, I would call it the OG, or the one that got everybody hooked to you know, AI. I mean, you know, there were AI before. AI was AI, the term, you know, the artificial intelligence started in '50s, but really ChatGPT opened it to public, right? We had AI in banking, we had AI in finance. We have AI in many things that people don't know. Those are the hidden narrow AI. You know, Tesla has AI because day one. You know, there's two AI chips in every Tesla car, right? And nobody, people don't care. People don't want to know details about that. They're just like, oh, that's just sort of self-driving. But we had AI, but the AI that made sense was the consumer AI that we could type our question to. We could ask, who is God? We could ask, what is the lottery number? Those are the silliest questions to ask, in my opinion, because AI is, the language model is actually based on training data, which is fed from our human knowledge, written text. So different companies made AIs. Now we have ChatGPT from OpenAI. There's two versions. ChatGPT has 3.5, you know, GPT, and 4.0, which is GPT-4. And they are different flavor. I mean, you know, they have different caliber. They're different size. ChatGPT-4 probably is the largest one in the world. There is Google's Bard, and there's Claude from, I'm trying to remember their name, but it's anthropomorphic or something like that. And then there is open source version from Meta, which is called Llama. Now, I would tell you that the one that is, you know, everybody use probably ChatGPT and the GPT-4, and that's well known. So I'm not going to talk about that much because you guys already probably know that. But I'll tell you, these are the other ones that you want to look at, like the Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, Claude. Claude is an amazing LLM because it has a constitution. One of the cool thing about LLMs is that, or one of the risky thing about LLM is that, you know, we are worried about, you know, the harm that it can do. It can give us misinformation. It can actually it could be biased. So what this company has done, the provider of Claude, and I'm forgetting their name, but I'll look it up later. Claude has an constitution built into it. So they built it differently. They said, hey, AI, you must obey these rules. And so their AI itself is self-monitoring and self-correcting. So instead of human feeding it whole bunch of bias, anti-biases. So if I didn't like this party or that party, or I tell him, no, don't say good things about this president or that president, you know, this kind of, you know, cherry picking is what's going to get AI really bad light. So what Claude has done, you know, is made that simple. Said, here's the basic constitution, human rights. You know, and they chose UN, United Nations Human Rights, not American Constitution, which is great. I mean, I'm a firm believer of American Constitution, but you know, it will be hard to sell to Indians. It will be hard to sell to Europeans. So they have chosen a UN Constitution, Human Rights, which basically says, you know, you cannot do anything bad to a human, blah, blah, blah. You can read up the whole thing and then say, apply that. When you talk to humans, apply that. That's one of the things. So they're actually trying to say, AI should be self-governing, but given the rules that we put in, the basic rules, we don't want to give it too specific rules. So that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons I would say, go see, check it out, Claude, and they have a version 2, which is unbelievable, and I'm not associated with any of them. Then obviously Bard, Google Bard is very good at, one of the best thing about Google Bard is live web information. So you could just say, I'll give you a business. This is a business setting. So I'll tell you that, let's say you have a competitor. You can say, analyze my competitor's website. Here is the website and tell me everything about it. It could do that. So I don't know how many of you knew that Bard has direct access to web. So real-time access to it. You could go and say, could we talk about, you know, his project, C-Prompt AI? What is it about? Analyze C-Prompt AI and tell me what it's about. It'll tell you exactly what it thinks, you know, it's about. So every single LLM is trying to come up with something better. So Google Bard is real-time web, and Claude is about that constitutional, you know, way of approaching safety of AI. ChatGPT is the most popular one, and then you have the open source Llama. Llama 2 by Meta. Surprisingly, Meta is open sourcing it. I think Meta is going about image correction, and so they're trying to make it look like they're really, really out there to help the humanity. And I have my doubts, but Meta's Llama is open source, so you could actually run it on your own computer if you could afford the computer. So there's all these varieties, and I mean, there's hundreds of others. So I think I gave some examples of differences, but you know, really, they're going to have different purposes. They're going to become what I think is going to be expert systems. So they're going to be good at something, and they're going to be not just general purpose, you know, thing that you go and ask all the questions. Behind the scene, they're going to fetch and, you know, reach out to other models. That's called multimodal. So I hope I gave some examples.
Yes, that was comprehensive, very comprehensive. Fairy King, Real Fairy King, has been waiting patiently. So if you'll unmute yourself, if you have a question for Kabir. We welcome you to the space. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for all who are in this space and have joined us in the last 5 to 10 minutes. Go ahead, Fairy King.
Hi, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever it is you guys are in the world. USA Biz Party. Anna, thank you for bringing me up and having this patience, giving me the opportunity to speak to Kabir. We did exchange a bit in the past. So I have like a very like difficult thing happening in terms of what's happening legally, right? So I've set up a company. I think I've disclosed whereabout I am in the world with you previously. I don't know if you take a note, but anyways, I've tried to set up this company, and one of the things that pulls me down is the fact that certain like components can't be reduced, even though like the tech departments locally are awarding like a reduction on certain taxes, right? But that's another whole ball of worms, right? Another can of worms. So the thing is, Kabir, like I'm having difficulty with understanding, or like, are there like selective, or how do we ensure that, let's just say our company collects data, where would we want to, where would we look for a company that actually is like inquiring on sourcing this data, whether it be like things like, a typical example would be like real world data, right? Let's just say, hypothetically, I decided that I wanted to open up a car wash, right? Something very simple. And then we collect data, things like how much of water was used, et cetera, right? Where would we find a consumer for the data that we chose to collect? Is there, I don't know if it's the right way that I'm asking this question, but if anyone could answer it, it will most likely be you.
Zafari, thank you for the question. I don't know. I mean, it'll be all dependent on what business that you are trying to prop up. And, you know, I think is the question about where do you find the data that exists for that specific business? And that's actually too specific, I think, for this space. But maybe we can talk, you know, on a different space about it. We're trying to talk about AI and prompt engineering, but I think the data collection, you know, where did the AI companies get data? That's really one of the biggest thing that is upsetting a ton of people who are very privacy focused and very interested in keeping their information, you know, to themselves and having ownership. I'll give you some examples. Like Stack Overflow is a computer. If there's any computer programmer in the world that hasn't visited their site, they probably don't know anything about programming. So Stack Overflow has actually sued OpenAI that their data was used to train its code purposes, right? So OpenAI trained ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is very good at code. In fact, in my company, we use it for various code analysis and such. And so now they have seen, Stack Overflow has seen a significant drop in their traffic because people are just going to ChatGPT and others and just asking the questions and getting the answers. And now they're saying, hey, that's not fair. That was my data. That was my data that you trained on. So there's a big lawsuit there. And I think there's going to be many lawsuits like that. But I would just tell you on the data side, since we're talking about data source, I have looked into this a little bit, and Google has trained its AI mostly, about 70% of its AI, you know, LLM is trained on books. And that was surprising to me. I saw, I mean, about 70%, 68-some% of it came from books. And that's amazing, because guess who has access to all the books? Google has invested so heavily in books and things that they have access to all these books, and they have done that. And so their AI has heavy training from, I would say, from books, which I think they can they can answer how that works out, because, you know, books are copyrighted materials, and I wonder how much of it was they had rights to. But that's interesting. So the data access and where to get the data is always going to be a challenge, and these companies have already done it. This is already out. Only thing they can ask for is forgiveness and probably pay a fine in US and Europe. And Japan, I think, already allows AI companies to access data. They have some sort of laws changes that they said, you know, open web is open game. So I hope I kind of answered that, but I know you have a specific one, so I'll talk to you later about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's... we do want to stick primarily to the prompt engineering topic, but that is a great question. And, you know, we are going to talk about some of the legal ramifications in a later space about this, because it is a concern. It is something that people are thinking about. I actually have a family member who said, I won't use AI. And I looked at, it was my husband, and I said, well, yeah, I think you might be using it whether you know it or not. So it's, you know, it's something that we need to grapple with. It's not going away. But today we do want to focus more on the prompt engineering. And I know Esther is going to read some questions, and then we're going to continue moving with the questions. If you are in the feed, we do encourage you to share your answers there with us as well. Go for it, Esther.
Yeah, so Pavel's saying that we can reduce biases and make sure it gives accurate and unbiased responses by using different techniques like examples, counterfactuals, and diverse data to help the AI understand different perspectives. And that's all we've got there. We've got a new question up now that is just at the top of the screen. What considerations should be taken into account when designing prompts for different applications or tasks?
That's a really good one. I think, you know, I'll give you some background. You know, as a technologist for over 20 years with a dozen published books, I study, you know, my wife and I are both computer scientists. She spent more time researching than I do, but, you know, our company, you know, when we take on something, we actually want to learn it so that we can write the Bible. That's how much we have done. We have done this with Linux. When Linux was invented in 92, I was a college student. I took on Linux and wrote half a dozen books on Linux. So many of them are million copies sold worldwide in 7-8 different languages and big publishers. Now, same thing happened with AI. I skipped AI in college. I did not think AI is going to happen in my lifetime. I did not think AI is going to be anything. You know, I totally had three chances of taking AI courses, and I didn't. But now, a year and a half ago, we found ourselves in customers. Our customers are mid-range enterprise. They are saying, hey, what about that AI? How do we take advantage of this AI? Figure it out. And we did. So we started studying it like we were in college. And that's why, you know, I will tell you that what I give you is simply a author's, you know, I'm just writing what I found or talking about what I found. I'm the messenger. I'm simply a consumer as well, and I'm using it in businesses. So I found AI to be an amazing, fascinating, you know, multidimensional technology. It will affect us so much that we really cannot avoid, you know, AI anymore. It's embedded. When you are doing the autocorrect on your iPhone, it's using AI. They have actually disclosed it. So some of the companies will actually use it just like, oh, it's just there in there. So we have to learn prompt engineering so that we can use it directly in our life better, and using a grammar that I think is very simple to follow. Things like ChatGPT, what you want to do is, especially in ChatGPT, let's say, you can just tell it what you want it to be. So for example, let's say you want to analyze a document, a legal document. Tell it, give it a role. You say, hey, ChatGPT, you are a legal analyst. You are an expert legal analyst. I'm about to give you a very large document, and I want you to focus on this three areas, and I want you to tell me, the output. Give me the results in a bullet list or as paragraph or a summarization. So you are basically tell it first what it is about to read. You are telling it what you want from it. If you define these role, basically give it the role, tell it what it should look for, and then give some examples if you can. That's where people miss out. So there is, in AI, there is, there's something called few shot, a one shot, and there's many, many other approaches. So similar to that, in your prompt engineering, if you're trying to get something out, tell it, I want you to behave like this, I want you to do this, and here is an example of what I really want, a very small example, maybe two, and then now go process this document. And it will do an amazing job for you. So there is a grammar to it. It's not hard-coded. It's really not like a language of programming that where we say begin and end and, curly braces and complication. It's simply, if you're going to have it write a tweet for you, I often, what I do, proofread. I will tell it, hey, I'm about to tweet to my friend Anna, right? Respond to my friend Anna. She is a business person. And here is my tweet. Make it enticing and proofread it. Then it will actually do a very good job knowing the background that the recipient is a business person and also that I wanted to proofread and then make it enticing. What sense? Business sense. You don't have to tell it that much because I gave it the clues are in my prompt. When we design prompts like that, it sounds like a work of art. And that's why prompt engineering term is surviving because it's not easy. I mean, people like me, like software engineers, we are getting maximum out of it. Every single employee in our company has the advanced version of ChatGPT, the one that costs money, $20. You know why? Because everybody now got an assistant. They can solve so many problems. They can be multi times faster and no need to bother somebody else. Imagine a new employee coming into an office and having a blank slate. There is no such thing. The new employee can be given a ChatGPT or Bard or Bing or whatever access and say, go learn there, start there. There is nobody should come to a table in a meeting with blank stares and blank slates because you can go research and brainstorm with an AI and find 10 points that you want to bring up to the meeting. So I hope the grammar is getting clearer for people that give it a role, tell it what you want, give some samples if you can. If you don't have time, that's okay. But when you do that, the results are going to be amazing. And I can go into many more details about it, but I think that was the whole thing, that how do we go about giving it a structure?
It's, and Andy, just a moment, but we'll bring you, give you a chance to speak here in a sec. As you're talking, I'm thinking, it's, whatever we put in is going to affect what we get out. We used to say garbage in, garbage out, good things in, good things out. And I think as we're dealing and learning with the prompts that, we just need to dive in and start to play to see how we can get the responses we're looking for from an AI. So I think this is just a fascinating area. It's just kind of like thrown wide open for business owners. But it has so many applications. Andy, you wanted to share something, so go ahead.
Hi, Anna. Hey, Kabir is my mate. Like, we host a lot of spaces about AI all the time. But I was actually kind of taking a break a few weeks. But I got to say, there are a lot of fear about, AI is going on because I've been in this industry as well. I'm just a Gen Z. I love this technology so much. I think I adapted this technology into my business, pretty much into my life, and it's improved a lot. See, like Abhi said, like you just got to learn how to prompt. You got to learn how to... see, for an example, like I have my own... sorry, can you guys hear me though? Sorry.
You are kind of cutting in and out. So.
Oh, yeah. So basically what happened, I was testing my Android device. Normally, I don't use Android, so I was just texting. Okay, I came to know it's bad. I'm never going to use this again. Kabi said, you know, I personalized my AI, right? So the AI that I use, I personalized. So pretty much my AI know what I want. Like pretty much he knows my, for an example, let's say I wanted to write an article, right? So before, for my business purpose, like I used to hire a content writer, right? I still have a content writer, but I trained her how to use it. So so basically, normally, let's say if you wanted to write a content for your website, right, it's going to take you like a 6 days or 5 days, a lot of researches, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. So what I did is actually I told my AI, hey, I want to write a content for my website, a 3,000 word content, right? And this is the geography. This is the area that I'm actually, these are the area of my clients. I'm from Australia, so I want my clients from Brisbane, Queensland, this part of the state. And these are my targeted audience. And these are the English, you know, the Australian English, what they're using. And write me a content according to their taste, right? And I get a content in less than a minute, correct? So I just copy-paste that content. But before I make a content, I definitely create a prompt. I enter the keywords, and it will create me a content. I post that on my website. Boom, I got the best content ever in like less than a minute. So then what I did, I'm not a professional content writer, but I don't want people to lose jobs. So what I suggest my content writer girl, imagine this, you are a content writer, so that's your profession. Imagine you adapt this AI technology into your business model. You'll be doing like a 10x more than what you're doing, I mean, making money 10x more than what you're making right now. Because the fact that you're more creative, so it's like a teamwork, right? You got to learn how to operate your AI, so you got to learn how to work with your AI, right? So just because you have an AI doesn't mean you can get everything. For an example, like I told my friend, right, because he's a farmer, correct? So I told him you can integrate AI into your farming base. For an example, ChatGPT. So he actually checked the soil, weather, fertility, new crop ideas, everything with the help of AI, right? So you can pretty much integrate everything into like AI, into anything what you do, but you just learn how to prompt, you know, how to you know, create that sort of a communication, like a connection, whatever it is, right? So yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I would suggest everybody to adapt it. It's not going to kill anybody's job, I can tell you. It's going to create a heck lot of an opportunity to an operator system. For an example, like my system, I have an IT company as well. I need a lot of people, right? After I introduce AI, here's the thing. I hire freelancers, right? I need to hire more freelancers to work with me because the system is way too complicated and you need a lot of manpower to operate the system, right? So it's going to create a lot more opportunities. And I think the fear of AI is good, but there is always a solution for everything, right? And I don't buy the fear that is projected by these big tech companies. I think they wanted to keep us away from this technology so they can actually profitize from it, right? That's what I personally believe. So I encourage everybody to, you know, learn and adapt AI into their life, whether if it is business, whether if it is personal, even on the personal skill. I will tell you something. I'm a bad texter when you come to my girlfriend. I actually get some tips from AI. I'm telling you, I say, let me be honest, it works so well. Anyways, thank you, Anna. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'll have to tell my husband that
trust me. I actually mind tracked it, right? I used to text my girlfriend and she used to get pissed off because I have ADHD, so I can't text her properly. So we used to have fight. Then I created a prompt and I asked AI, hey, how can I respond to this message? And my AI gave me the perfect answer. I copy paste that and we haven't had a fight for a long time. Nah.
What a creative use. I did in the feed, I did post a picture from cprompt.ai so that you can see some of the areas that that you can just tap and get into. So let's say that you're looking for software development. Well, if you click the software development on the his website, he gives a couple of prompts here. Give a jQuery animation for a given div or create a high-level technical spec. So this is, he also has this tremendous resource. If you're just getting started and you would just like to take a look around, I highly recommend that you go to cprompt.ai. And I think it's really important. We do have another speaker, Aram, and then we'll get back to our questions. We are getting Kabir, but you wanted to say something. So Aram, let's let Kabir speak and then you go ahead.
Aram can go, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of brief on C prompt because these are user generated and anybody can create them. So it's not like we create them. It's actually any user that signs up can turn their prompt into an app, and that's what it's about. So go ahead, Inam.
Hi everyone, can you hear me?
We can hear you quite well. Thank you for joining our space and for asking to
thank
speak.
Thank you so much for letting me speak. I'm so enthusiastic about AI and ChatGPT and prompts and prompt engineering. I've been at it since its release. And I think I can give you a few tips, not many, because I'm not a company owner like Kabir. But first of all, be polite to ChatGPT so it will respond well to the same command if you ask it nicely. So, hi ChatGPT, how are you doing? Please help me do this. I'm really stuck with this. You really need to have a conversation going. So, just like a human being would respond better if you ask them to do things nicely, use please, use thank you. And I've done this, I've asked ChatGPT what sort of prompts do you respond best to? And, I've done my research on this. So please do experiment if you want to. So if you ask ChatGPT, please do this for me. Thank you so much. The last answer was awesome, but you could improve in this way. So have a conversation that, digs deeper and acknowledges what's right and points out what's wrong. So, one answer would not be sufficient. One prompt would not be sufficient. What I have realized is that you go on having that conversation. You begin to have a longer conversation with the chat bot. So that would really help. But just like Kabir pointed out, first of all, you do need to assign a role to ChatGPT. So think like an Ivy League MBA who is an expert in business plan writing. Help me write a business plan for this, which, and it helps to give it constraints. So my budget is this, my employees are so many, I need to start the business by this time, and my competitors are this, and so on. So it helps to give it some constraints, and most of all, just keep on experimenting. And Bard, by the way, is very childish compared to Bing Chat. I mean, sometimes it would be factually incorrect. So between Bard, ChatGPT, and Bing Chat, I find Bing Chat the most advanced and the best of all. But that's just my perception. But I frequently, what I do is I paste the outputs of one as a prompt to the other. So you can ask Bard to write an effective prompt for ChatGPT. Paste the results in ChatGPT, get some idea, and then paste that in Bing Chat and tell Bing Chat to improve this. And the best prompt of all, I find, is ask the chatbot to go over all previous answers to find hidden, non-obvious insights. So when you try to connect the dots and find non-obvious insights, connecting the dots and going over, reviewing all previous answers, it will often come up with something really unique that, really helps do things. So, for example, I can ask it, go over the book Atomic Habits and come up with 10 passages that you find inspiring. And then I ask it to do it for another book, and then tell it to find insights and connect the dots like a polymath or deep thinker, and it'll find something very unique for you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you so much. That was very very good. Very good information. We appreciate it. One of the questions that, we are nearly at the top of the hour. So if you need to jump off at 1 o'clock or whatever time it is, the top of the hour, wherever you are welcome to. I would like, if Kabir can, stick around for at least another 10 minutes. I'd like to get his take on the other two questions that we have. hanging out in the space. Also, again, if you're wanting to participate, but you're in a split place where you can't speak, you can go into the Twitter feed. Just put hashtag USABizParty. You can find our questions there, and you can share your insights and thoughts, answers to the questions, anything you want. This has been extremely helpful for me, just understanding more about prompts and prompt engineering. And so, Kabir, if you can hang out for just maybe 10 more minutes, we can get, I'd like to get your input on these other two questions, if that's okay. And that means that, Esther, you have to stick around because you're the host. Well, no, I guess I'm co-hosting. So if you need to step away, you can do so. Before we get to the last questions, I do want to thank everybody who has joined us, this space, Aram, and we had the Real Fairy King. We had Andy all speaking to us. That was with some amazing insights, great questions. We have Kimberly and Pavel and Debbie Noor. Let me make sure I get your name right. Debbie Norton, Virtue Desk, Amigo, Darcy, thank you for joining. We have Matasco. We have Mr. Juan Carlos. We have Knowledge. We have Tara. And we have African Ngozi Art. I hope I said that correctly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Getting to the last two questions. So this was question six, but we'll get to it now. What considerations should be taken into account when designing prompts for different applications or tasks?
So I think we touched on that. Whenever you're designing a prompt for a specific thing, you need to tell the AI. And let's stick to ChatGPT because that's what most people know. Again, every AI is a little bit different, but if you tell it that I want you to do a legal contract, so I would say, you know, you are a legal assistant AI or a GPT, or if I'm trying to have it do, let's say, a blog post about business, I would have to tell it, you are a content producer GPT, you are a business content producer GPT. So you just have to give it an idea of a role that it needs to play, and then give it as much detail about what you want. If you're asking for it to generate a blog post, tell it the parameters. Like, I want you to be formal. Like, tell it what tone do you want it. I want it to be exciting. I want it to be addressing a business audience, or I want you to address a, you know, other audience, whatever that audience is. So you can be as specific as you want. That's the whole thing about, you know, prompt engineering, is that first define the role that it needs to play, then tell it how you want it, what tonality to use, and then ask it how it should output. That's the part most people don't do. As software engineers, we always want our output to be consumable. So I'll give you one example. You can test it very quickly. If you tell it, let's say we are trying to write a blog post about USA Biz Party. So I would go tell it that you are a ChatGPT, you are a business and a content producer GPT. You are going to write an article about prompt engineering in business. And, you know, I want you to do this, this, this. I want you to mention the grammar. I want you to give examples. I want you to do this, this, this. But I want you to output it in a markdown format. When I tell it that, it will actually create a document for me. Now, most people say I don't have a save button. Yes, in most cases, you don't have a save button to download the document. But if you copied that markdown document, you will notice that it has some hash marks and various other elements that actually translates to a style of documentation, which is called markdown format. You can go online and type in markdown to PDF, and you simply paste it, and you generate a PDF out of it, very nice PDF. In fact, I think some of the applications like Google Docs may actually read markdown. So again, you can ask it to create even output in your way. For example, if you are asking it to analyze a Excel spreadsheet now, you know, most people cannot just paste an Excel spreadsheet to ChatGPT. There are plugins, but let's say without plugins, you convert it to a comma value separated file and you paste a bunch of records, a couple hundred records, and say, analyze this, do this, and return me the output in a smaller, in a comma separated file as well. So you can say, give me this column, this column, this column. So you can actually specify what output you want. In programming, we even ask it even more. We ask it something called JSON output. We ask it to render HTML output. We ask it to render. So you can think of, here is what the role is. Here is what I want you to do. Here is how I want the answers to be. So in your case, if you just wanted a bullet list, tell it. Tell it that you want a bullet list of information. If you want a paragraph, tell it you want a paragraph. If you want a short paragraph, say make a short paragraph. If you want it to be, if you want the readability to be controlled, you say give your results to a eighth grader level, you know, English, or give your results to a college graduate level English. You can actually specify these things. That's what prompt engineering is. That role playing, tell it what role to play, tell it the details, give examples, and at the end, tell it how it should output. Now, granted, it doesn't always follow. It will not always work. That's where we live in. We live in the very early stage of AI that doesn't do a great job all the time. But, you know, that's because it's still very early stage technology. But if you do these things, you will get so much better results from prompts, so much more out of it, so you can practically copy paste and get really interesting things. So I'll give you one more example. On Bard, Bard has two really great advantages. One is it can actually access web. Second, it can actually output to Gmail or Google Docs directly. So let's say you have it write a nice email for you. Let's say I want a response. I received a letter and email, and say, here's my email. I want to respond with a positive tone and this and that. So it creates that email. There is a share button on Bard that will let you export to Gmail or Google Docs. If you click on that, and it's all instantly copied for you, and the formatting is maintained. Sometimes people copy paste and lose the formatting. So that's kind of this saves you from that. It's as easy step as if it's copying for you. So again, input, tell it the role, tell it the details, what you want, tell it some examples, and then finally tell it how to output. If you have a specific output, like small paragraph, large paragraph, break it down in a certain size of paragraph. Otherwise, it'll just make its own thing, and it's just not practical sometimes to use it, or you have to have a lot of, a lot of reworking it. So I hope I answered that.
Yes, that was a very in-depth question. The good news is for anybody who's listening, this is being recorded, so you can come back and you can listen to it. And plus, we actually take the transcript from here and we feed it into AI to generate tweets so that we can keep the conversation going. So absolutely. Our last question for the day is...
Can I just jump in there while you're looking for it? Yeah. There are a couple of people who have been chatting to us here on the feed. So Virtue is saying, be as specific as possible, consider using perspectives and define the task as clearly as you can when you're talking to ChatGPT. And Ben says that before he asks generative AI the question he wants answered, he asks it what it knows about the subject area first and has a brief discussion about some specifics about the area. Then he asks it his question and finds it gives him a more informed answer. Just Pavel then quickly said he thinks prompt engineering can help make AI models easier to understand and more open. By carefully designing the inputs given to the AI model, it helps the developers know if the tool is working really well or how it can be improved. And yeah, you were saying that you feel like you're learning a new language. But Virtudes says as you feed it more information, the tool improves the result it is providing, which is very true.
Yes, again, it's something that we have to use. If we the less we use it, the more frustrating. You know, we're hearing a lot about it. It's part of the fabric of business culture now. And of course, there are ethical and legal issues that need to be addressed. So, however, it's here to stay. And this conversation today is super important, especially because the AI is only going to give us information that we ask for. So our prompts need to be, they need to be specific. And that way we get the information that we're looking for. out of the AI. Our last question, and then this is again for Kabir. How can prompt engineering contribute to AI model interpretability and transparency? So maybe we should define a minute. What is interpretability and transparency?
So I hope I understood it. So the interpretability is, you know, most people are wondering how is all this being done? So there is, I think another term I heard is explainable AI. And I think if that's what it's referring to is that when AI does a certain thing, when we ask AI to do something, how did it arrive to that conclusion? What steps did it take? You know, what was the flow? And so we are interested in explainable AI or interpretability of the AI's response. I think that's a big discussion. That's still a big unknown. A lot of people are working on it because what we are interested as human is that, hey, when I ask it certain things, it gave me a response and it seems biased or it seems unfair or it seems somehow skewed. And I want to know how it derived it so that I can pinpoint the problem to it. So I think then explainable AI is what a lot of people are talking about. Frankly, based on my, again, I did give a disclaimer that I'm not an AI expert. I'm a user and I read AI. I use AI. And I, just like a student, I'm a student of AI, and I'm a pretty good student of AI with a computer science background for, you know, the 70,000 hours of professional computer science. So I would say that, you know, based on what I know from the scientists that are the top of the chain who are actually doing stuff, based on their, you know, the papers that are getting published and so on, I think explainability is going to be very difficult because of how the neural nets are formed. So I think that's one big giant, you know, thing that I don't know anything about. But what will happen though is it will give source references. Like it should tell us that this information was based on these 10 references, and then maybe we can investigate those references and find the fault in the source document. What I see a lot of people do is blame AI, and here is what it doesn't make sense as an engineer. If I fed, just like you said, garbage in, garbage out, if I fed the bad information, if the open web, as we know it, it has a ton of bad information, ton of biases, ton of racism, ton of bad things, ton of bomb making and other bad things. Now, that was fed to AI. You know, they should not have maybe, but they fed it. And now it's spitting out, you know, whatever people are asking for. So we can't blame the tool. It's that the initial content was maybe should not have been there. And again, some companies like Claude is trying to protect us by saying we will instruct the AI not to respond that violates these guiding, you know, principles such as human rights, such as, you know, best practices in safety. So by putting on our rules, we can actually make AI more reasonable. AI response more reasonable, and I think explainability is going to be extremely difficult, but it is possible probably. And prompt engineering is definitely going to help because it's the human interaction that the engineers have not planned for. I mean, I would imagine, you know, all the LLM developers that, you know, in these big companies, they're going nuts over the questions people are asking. I have a friend that told me that they saw, you know, who is God? What is God? And that type of question, a hell lot more than they expected. Because, you know, people thought that we should ask AI, who is God? But they don't realize that answer comes from human knowledge, right? This is not an extra terrestrial being that we're asking that, hey, you know, have you seen God on the way to our world? No, this is just our books, our open web data, our discussions. Based on that, it cannot do any better than what we have done already. So the limitation of AI right now is actually the limitation of humanity. It hasn't created anything new yet. Now, new things that it's creating, such as it's figuring out cancer faster than the radiologist does, because it's faster at looking at all the options. So those are the things that AI can do really well. It can look at all the data in a very quick way and get a much faster response. A radiologist have to spend a lifetime tracking the history of a patient to find a cancer, and they only have very little time. When the AI is able to go through every single last 20 the x-rays that the patient has had, and take into account of the growth of something that they've been not seen by a human doctor. So things that our AIs are going to be good at is analyzing large volume of data. But remember, the data is created by us. Still today, data is created by us. Eventually, the AIs are going to create their own new thing, and that's when that's when things will be different. But for now, what we fed it is what is spitting it out. It's a statistical machine. It's producing the next token, and the next token, the predictability of that token is you can tweak it. You can say be more adventurous. That's called temperature measurement. So if you just go for the most common statistical answer, it'll just give you a very boring answer. But if you wanted to be creative in writing, you said don't take the most obvious path. Take a little bit more risky path, those tokens that you didn't think of connecting so easily. So that's when it becomes a little bit different. So that's why when you ask OpenAI ChatGPT a question, and next time you ask it the same question, it doesn't answer the same way. But it is a deterministic machine. It's not actually capable of creating random answers. It's simply taking different path at that time. So and we get as humans, we get confused. We're like, it's completely random. It's not random. It's just that it's so deep in neural network networking and such that. For us, it's unfathomable how it. We cannot explain each step yet, and that is where the explainable AI or integrity of AI is questioned. Because if you cannot reproduce it, you don't trust it. That's one of the theories of trusted system, right? If I can't reproduce it, I won't trust it. If something new comes out every other time, I'm going to be not able to trust it. I'm not going to be able to bank it. So that is a conversation. That is a science that is happening. I don't think there is an answer yet. In my based on my knowledge.
Well, and again, it's a developing, growing field, and it's growing quickly. It's not like it was years and years and years ago. I believe they say now that the knowledge across the civilized world is increasing every 2 months. I could be wrong, but this is a developing, growing, evolving part of industry. And so I don't think we need to necessarily know everything about AI. On the one hand, we don't need to be afraid of it, but we do need to understand how to use it effectively to get the information that we're looking for. And I'm going to go ahead at this time. We're going to end this space, but I want to thank Kabir for taking the time to join us, taking this extra time to discuss. You can find Kabir. He is at MJ Kabir on Twitter. I highly encourage, if you're in this space, follow one another, learn from each other. All of the month of August, we are going to be talking about various topics concerning AI. And so we encourage you to be plugged into this space. Go ahead and follow USA Biz Party, and then be on the watch when we create these spaces every week so that you get notifications when we're going live in the space. Again, Kabir, thank you so much. This was so informative for me. I still feel like a lot of it is, there's a lot of depth that I don't understand yet, but this was really, really valuable for me, particularly because the place where I interact with an AI is in the prompts. And so this was really, I really enjoyed our chat today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, everyone, for letting me speak. And anytime if you want to bring me back, I am available. My job title is to promote AI awareness and education, and CPROM does that, and I am available. But I am not an expert. So I follow the experts. I will call myself expert in 5 years, not now. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Again, everyone who has joined us, whether you've been here earlier in the space or you are here now, we want to thank you, appreciate you joining us, listening to the conversation, jumping into the Twitter chat. We do this every single Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, the entire month of August is dedicated to learning more about AI. And I'm going to be honest with you, say, I'm selfish. The reason we're doing this is because I want to learn more about it. And I figure if I want to learn more about it, there are a lot of people in our community that want to learn as well. So again, thank you. Thank you, Kabir, Kimberly, Debbie, Tara, Virtue Desk, Amigo, Darcy. I'm going to get these names wrong. Mutasco, Andrew, Mr. Juan, and our African friend down there. Thank you again for joining us. And we'll be back next week. Have a great week.